You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. The heat index is 7,000 degrees, but I stay cooler than ever.
Sorry I'm not into all the drama. I'm too busy being a real hug.
No, go! Keep going! Oh, it's good! You were giving a voice. I was very into it. Do it! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going!
Sorry I'm not into all the drama. I'm too busy being a real housewife.
You guys, that was performed beautifully.
I got that Real Housewife energy.
Good.
Which is, you know, helpful because I'm chatting with a Real Housewife. So that's a nice thing to do. You guys, it's Andy Scrolls. It's episode 560 something. I don't know. Leave me alone. And I'm so excited to have a return guest. First time in the Clawfest, but not first time in the apartment. It's been a minute.
It's been like 10 years, girl. It's been like a lot of minutes.
It's been a hot second. We last recorded, I don't know if you remember this, but it was a remarkable day for me because first off, I recorded with you. Incredible. It was, I think, 2018. I know it was 2018 because we recorded. I had to go get a passport photo taken and the thing fell on my head. I should have sued them, but I didn't. At UPS, which used to be right across the street, it fell literally on top of my head. The guy who said, you know, like the whole, like, yeah, almost like a steel where they fell on top of me. We both looked at each other because he knew he was fucked, but actually he wasn't fucked because I never did anything about it. I did cry. So in my passport photo, there Yes. And then I was like, messaged you or something. Like, I don't even remember.
Back then I had people, so you couldn't really message me directly. Full disclosure. There's no people anymore, girl.
Well, okay, so this is where it takes a turn. So I don't get my photo taken there because I'm like, I don't want you to take my photo. So I go to the post office to have them take my photo. And it's like, you can't smile or anything anymore. Yeah. But I didn't want to because I'd just been hit in the head. So then I get a phone call. This is where it does take a turn. That a family member had been in an accident.
What?
And sustained a head injury. And I was like, can you not let me have a day where it's about my head injury? So I had to rush back to Rhode Island and then edited our episode, no joke, in an empty ICU room at a hospital. And the person, you know, like,
they're okay.
Well, I mean, that's a different conversation. But okay. there was something kind of, I don't even know what, about like, and I, it was a family friend let me have their computer and I had the audio file. And
you're
was,
like, must get out the pod.
I literally was like, I need to get this episode out. So I edited. It was when they were like stable, obviously. But I edited the episode. Yeah, the nurses were like, listen, we can't tell you. You can use this as a studio space, but we will look the other way.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was recording our episode together in a hospital in Rhode Island.
That's crazy.
Listen, it was a 911.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
It was wild, but I also was like, how is it possible that two family members have issues with their head in the same day? Mine was like nothing, but like, it was, is that not wild?
No, that is really, really crazy. I'm glad that they're okay and that you are too. Thank but you were my first podcast I ever did.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
uh-huh. How is that possible?
I don't know. It just, and it's so funny because I was thinking about it on the way here, all the way uptown. This is only my third time up here, by the way,
that
people.
That is literally nuts. That is nuts.
I don't know what it was. It was like, it was very early on. I don't even know, had the show even aired yet?
Ultimate Girls?
No. I'm talking about back a million years ago.
You had already been on New York.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was like one of the first podcasts. I know.
Well, listen, full circle. Now you're in the Clawfest. We're surrounded
and
by
this
cops of color.
Is amazing.
Thank you.
Like, I'm really, really jealous. It's kind of amazing. I have just an old school office.
I mean,
you know, there's no claw involved because it does. Well, I actually shouldn't say that. There is a closet in there. So it is technically a clawfest.
Okay.
But it's not exposed clothing.
Mm. I love a little
exposure.
I have
a curtain. Curtain.
But it's like, we love a curtain. Is it the curtain is like over?
I
just take down
off,
the curtain.
No, I put the curtain over the doors of the claw part of the office.
Gotta go.
It looks cute, but that's kind of more my backdrop. It's like this curtainy thing.
Well, listen, I need to set a backdrop for this episode because I'm so excited to deep dive with this return guest. You know her as a goddamn supermodel. She's also a mom to the two cutest kids around. She is a Real Housewife of New York, the breakout star of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Roni Legacy, the longest title. They could have taken out maybe none of those words, but it's just the longest title of all time. And I pray to God this is the longest episode. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Kristen Takeman. Kristen, how are we?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. It's summer. It's 1 million degrees out. Oh. I'm living my best life. My kids are at camp. I have 4 more days of being the real me before I have to go back to being a soccer mom.
honestly, God forbid I was a parent. If I was one, they would be at camp every day.
I know.
Like, even during the school year, I'm like, don't you want to go to
school.
A sleepaway boarding? <I know. laughs> But what is that? So how long have they been in sleepaway camp? Is this new?
30 days.
No, but like historically, is this their first year? Have they done this for a while?
Yeah, no, it's Cash's fourth year. It's okay. Kingsley's second? No, her third. It's her third.
Okay.
And it's great. I mean, honestly, it's like Cash is 16. So it's like he's a CIT and we're having it like we don't want to get totally into all this stuff. But, you know, you got to start thinking about all the college stuff. So it's like really good for his college whole, what do you call it? Like they're, you know how they have to have all the fluff for college? So it's like, yeah. Oh, I was the CIT at summer camp for 3 years, you know, like or whatever, counselor. So that's just like fluffing up all of his college stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And then Kingsley is so shy regularly and she lives her best life at summer camp. If you saw some of these pictures, you're like, what? Who is this child? It's really, she like literally was made for, like the counselor was like, she's made for summer camp. She loves it. She doesn't want to come home.
Is there a theme to the camp? You know how sometimes it's like a horseback riding or like specific sports.
I just say it's like a classic.
Love.
Yeah. Just have a little bit of everything. A little archery, a little pottery, a little sports.
I honestly loved camp. I love sleepaway camp.
Totally.
You felt like an adult.
Kind of, yeah.
You're like kind of on your own, but not really at all.
Yeah. It's like a weird rite of passage. It's like you have your first kiss. I had my first kiss and my second kiss.
I didn't have my first kiss. Well, I went to an all-girls camp, so that wasn't really. But then I went to.
You're like, that's another podcast.
But then I went to Walnut Hill, which was like a very competitive. It's during the year. It's a boarding school focused on theater. And during the summer, they have their summer program. So I went there for my last 2 years of high school. And that was like everybody was losing everything because that was like
everybody was losing.
Put some theater kids in a room and we're already hormonal and like ready to burst into song and things are going to happen. God, things did happen there.
Funny. Yeah, but that's what camp's about, I think. I think that's what we sign up for.
So as a parent, what does that feel like? Because do they stay in touch with you? Or is this one of the things where they're not allowed to have a phone?
Yeah, no phone, girl.
Good, thank God.
At all.
Okay, great.
It's like a full detox and it's like a reset for all of us. I mean, they can write you letters and you could choose to write back or not.
Do they have
mommy
email?
Is in Greece. Oh my God, you want to hear the funniest thing ever? So Kingsley, like, it's like her last day. She's in like junior high. It's like her one of her last days of schools. And like, I don't know, the teacher was probably like, I have nothing else to teach you guys. Like, I'll just chat. So the teacher's like, what are you doing this summer? What are you doing this summer? And Kingsley's like, I'm going to summer camp. Pause for 30 days. And the freaking teacher was like, what? Because in California, by the way, nobody goes to sleepaway camp.
Oh, real?
Yeah, it's like not a thing. It's like such an East Coast thing. So Kingsley's like, not only am I going for 30 days, but like it's in New Hampshire. Like if you saw like the expression on this teacher's face, her jaw was like dropping. And then the teacher, this is crazy. The teacher's like, what do your parents do while you're away? And Kingsley goes, well, they're going to Italy, Greece, and France. And the teacher literally had nothing to say. How funny is that? I was like, oh my God, the teacher must think like we're insane.
Wait, but that is kind of the way to do it, is it not? And
yeah. Hello. I mean, you have to take advantage of the time off.
Do the kids get upset that they're missing Greece and Italy and France?
No, I don't think they don't so. Get,
have we asked them?
No.
Okay.
Girl, there's no asking. No, last year we went to Italy with them and it was just, you know, I kind of felt like, I don't know. I just, it's a me time sitch.
How long were you in Europe?
3 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Hello. That's why I was so excited to do this. I was like, all right, cool. Like, this is work, right? Like, I'm back at it.
Absolutely. This is a job.
Okay? And everyone out there, I binged all the episodes of OC and New Jersey that I missed. And I'm very excited. I just finished them a minute ago and I'm so excited to talk about it.
Kristen Takeman showed up to the Clawfis with notes.
And look at just
we need
proof.
To take a photo of the notes. I'm dead serious.
But look at this is the hotel I'm staying at now.
Okay.
And then this is the Nobu Hotel in London. I've got notes everywhere. I like to steal little notepads from hotels.
Wait, the Nobu though. That's, I know, right? Like you're not fucking around.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, Listen, it's in a area called Shoreditch in London. I don't know if you know London.
So it's like very kind of like up and coming, cool.
Completely. And it was very, very cool. I have to say, the hotel was amazing, but it was really dark. Like they had this whole
I've looked at photos of it. Yeah, in London.
Yeah, like dark wood, but like light. Like it was literally like I couldn't see anything in the room. I was like, what's wrong with me? But no, it's cool. But Shoreditch was great. It was so funny the whole time. Josh was like, no, it's cool, man. It's cool. Like, we'll stay in Shoreditch. It's like the East Village. He kept like referring to the East Village. And finally, I was like, I don't like the East Village. I don't ever go to the East Village. Why do I... East Village. No, but it was cool. We were only there 2 days.
I was thinking about going to London in, what month are we in now? July?
Yeah.
I was thinking about going to London in May and some stuff happened that changed my plans. But I was looking at Shoreditch House, which is the Soho house. But I was like, this is like meatpacking, but maybe it's more real than our version of meatpacking now. But also, I am not cool. So do I really want to do this? But then I heard there's like a lot of great vintage there.
Yeah. No, I think you would like it. The thing is, like, we were hanging out with friends that were more in the center of the city. So it was like a 30-minute cab ride back and forth. So I feel like if you're staying in that area, just do that, you know, which is great. You would like it. It's great. Great restaurants, cool shopping, funky, like a lot of outdoor markets. There's this like container, I forget what it's called, but it's all
store?
Those no it's like those box containers and they like pile them all up on top of each other and it's this like cool market.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was a restaurant. I was like, I don't really think I want to. It's like very Luther themed. It's Luther coded
like
dining.
Okay. Full on a cool East Village. Wow. I was like, I don't really go to the East Village ever. Why are we like, can you come up with another example?
I mean, listen, there's something about taking a trip where you don't have Bravo and then returning back. And there is some, if you don't do the VPN route, which I never did until my last couple trips to Paris when I was like, okay, I need to catch up.
Oh, yeah.
And there is something actually kind of lovely about watching people speak in English while you're in Paris, because otherwise you're completely fucked.
Yeah.
But to have that break as a Bravo hall and then return, it's nice to detox. I have to say, I think our bodies need it now and again.
No, I agree. Okay, I am just going to, I feel like I need to ask you.
This is a Bravo hall.
Let me ask you a question.
Please.
Because I feel genuinely
Bravo star
like you're a friend. Okay,
great.
So you watched my show and now that we're a year
Which show?
Later,
you were
the,
in
the
multiple.
Last one, Ultimate Girls Trip.
Okay.
So how did you feel about the whole super fan comments with Kelly?
Well, listen, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Oh no.
I had some questions for you. But
because I'm sitting here going like, oh my God, am I a quote unquote super fan? I've got notes. I'm kind of torn between like, I don't know.
So it was interesting the way that Kelly used the idea of a fan identity, because it was used as a pejorative initially of like, you're acting like a fan almost as an insult, like you're a looky-loo or an outsider.
Agreed.
And then after it was, you need to tell us more about you because otherwise I know the fans won't understand you unless you share intimate details, or you're not sharing enough, or you're not being real enough.
Right.
So she identified sort of as an ambassador to the fans on the latter, and then on the former was like, God forbid you're too invested in this universe or you like it.
Yeah.
That makes you different from us.
Right. You know, I'm actually just sitting here thinking, watching you like in your, you know, all your glory, like being your podcast. No, seriously. And I just had this vision of like, think about all the housewives that are current and ex-housewives that have podcasts. All of those bitches need to watch the shows in order to talk about them. If I had a podcast, maybe I wouldn't be a super fan. Meaning like, I don't want a podcast. I'm saying like, would she have said that about me if I was a podcaster? You know, it's like just because I'm an actual housewife and I'm sitting at home on my free time at night after soccer practice when everybody's in bed, I enjoy watching Bravo. And I'm sitting there and it's like, it was just such a weird thing for her to say. And frankly, I feel like it's just so strange that she didn't watch anything after not being on the show for so long. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there were scenes of Dorinda watching Scary Island while she was getting ready for dinner. So you weren't the only person who had an interest in watching these shows.
Right.
I think it is fascinating. I think about that with Kelly. I think about that with Yolanda Hadid, the idea of like coming into these shows and making Diana on Beverly Hills, making sure people are aware that I am sort of too cool to know what it is that I'm walking into. But then I think, first off, do I believe you? Number one. But number two, from a business perspective, why on earth would you sign a contract to do something without knowing truly what's going to air? Like how you could be screwed.
Yes.
The ways that things can be misinterpreted for kicks. And also an idea of who it is that you're filming with. Yeah. Like walking into filming a scene with Dorinda, with Ramona, with Kyle, with LVP, I would want to have an idea of how these people perform on these shows and if it's different from who they are IRL.
Totally. Like, what am I walking into right now? And just what's interesting, how it works. For me even too, it's like how it's edited. Like, so, like, I know this sounds so silly, but like knowing the talking heads room, you know what I mean? It's like I knew how they used that. So it's like I had a lot to say that I knew there wasn't a camera maybe following me around. I'm not going to talk directly to the camera guy that's sitting there watching me do my hair and makeup. I'm like, I'm going to go up to that room and I'm going to voice my opinion and maybe they'll use it or like make things more interesting or, I don't know, I'm just saying, I think that would have helped her.
So having watched your episode, you watched the episodes of Ultimate Girls Trip, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have to, you know, you have to.
Oh, right, for the confessionals. Because there's, so you're filming while you're on the trip and then confessionals are filmed at what point after?
No, we don't see any of it till later. But I just feel like even for social media, like you're going to watch it, you know? And they edited late. Like it was like, because they bumped our show up. So everything was so quick. It was like nuts. I mean, I was like flying back and forth to New York like almost every other week because they were like, okay, we've got more. You've got to come in. Because like they were editing as they went. I don't even think they, like when it aired, I don't even know if it was all done.
Holy shit. And it was only 6 episodes.
I know.
It should have been 10.
Yeah. They don't do that apparently on Peacock.
Really?
Yeah. I heard it's because, how much does Peacock cost? Like not a lot of money.
I have no idea.
So it's like.
Which is bad. I should know.
Yeah.
I paid
so
for
it's
it.
Like not a lot of money. I don't think it's that much money. So it's like whether they give you, you know, whether they give you, you know, 10 episodes or 4, they're not making any more money off of you.
Oh.
No. Crazy, right?
But if I was Peacock, wouldn't I want to get more episodes for the same amount? Or it's just the
because they're not making any more money off of it.
Oh, got it.
Charging the person and they're not making any more money.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's crazy.
So you get this call.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go. Can you walk me through? And we will obviously deep dive Orange County and New Jersey. This is going to be a 15 part up. When you got the call, how did all of that go down? How close to the actual trip was it? Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yeah. I don't know. So I knew the call was coming.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I just knew it. Like I get these like weird instinctual feelings and there's only so many girls to pull from for all the ultimate, like assuming the Ultimate Girls Trip just keeps going and going pre all the drama that happened. You know, I always envision it being like a casting wall and there's all these faces. There's only so many viable girls. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, okay, that one is suing us.
Yeah.
That one's not talking to us anymore. Yeah. We already used all of these girls.
Right. How many times can they come? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, I think fans would love to keep seeing these girls again and again, but they're like, okay, we've got to throw other girls in the mix. Or like, those 3 just went off the grid. We don't know where they are. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's legit, if you really break it down, it's a club. There's only, it's a sorority. There's only so many women. And I was like, if they're going to go on and do 12 of these Ultimate Girls Trips, surely my name will be in there. You know, I didn't burn any bridges. Who knows? So I guess what I'm trying to say is I wasn't that surprised. It was like, I kind of knew this call was coming. And so what originally happened was before all of that drama with, I'm going to just say Jill, but we don't know. I mean, I guess that's what they're saying with Jill, with like the negotiation stuff.
And Jill talked about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before that whole thing, the breakdown with Jill, I got a call and it was probably 6 months before they figured out my sitch. It might have been like I got the call maybe in March, May, maybe April. I got the call in April, end of April, early May. And it was like in a month we're filming. Maybe it's May. Yeah. So in a month we're filming. But I got a phone call from production probably 6 months before that, my old production company. And it was like, hey, how you doing? And you know how you're like, oh my God, like, what do you want? This is scary. Like, it was scary. Yeah. Like, it had almost been 10 years.
Eight years, 10 years.
Yeah. Like, that's a long time to not be in any of this stuff. So I was very cold to the person on the phone. I just was. I was like, all right, like, what's going on? And then I really, you know, knowing that this phone call could be coming, it's like, okay, obviously, you know all the shit in my personal life. Like, do I really want to drum it up? And then it's like, do I really want to drum it up for nothing? Like, I'm good in my life. Like, do I really need this? And I knew that it wasn't going to be a series for me because I live in LA. Like, there's no... I'm not moving back. Like, it was, I knew that that was never going to be an option for me. So I kind of just was like a little bit cold and I was like, okay, what do you really want from me? And at that time, the whole thing was we're not really sure what we're doing. It's going to be like a show, but it's going to be online. And then we want to make it where, would you come back for like a party? And they use an example, like say Luann was having a birthday party, would you come back in? And I was like, I didn't say no because I didn't want to be a bitch, but I was like, I was very hesitant. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not coming back for free. I don't like when I say I don't need this, it's not like, oh, I'm above and beyond it. But I'm like, if I'm not getting paid, it's only going to backfire. And, you know, Heather Thompson, love her, right? But I was looking at it like, I don't think she got a great edit when she came back for that Hamptons thing. And I'm not going to be that girl, especially knowing all the stuff that went on with my personal life. Like, I just felt like I didn't need to do that for me. Like, if it didn't make sense. Why would I come back for a birthday party? Like, that just is so weird. I just had this, you know how you watch these girls come back after a long time and they're like, cricket, cricket. Like, it's like that girl at the party that's like, or like, you're at the lunch table, like when you're in junior high and you're like, is anybody sitting here?
No.
Like, I just didn't, no need to be that girl. Like, I just, and again, like if there wasn't anything financial, like why would I do that? So, and then she was like, well, because I think they were trying to figure out, she's like, you know, would you go on a trip with us? Like maybe, like as an example, like if the girls were going to Paris, like, would you be a part of that? And you're like, I'm not going to say no right now because I just need more details. Like, how long? How much money are you paying? Like, what's expected of me? So they didn't really know. So that was the original phone call. So then 6 months goes by and all this stuff comes out in the press. I don't really think anything of it. They're not doing it anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's, I can't remember if it had already come out that it was going to be the Ultimate Girls Trip. And then I got the same phone call and I saw her number pop up. It's our producer, this, you know, our producer. And, you know, I was at the dentist with the kids and I saw the phone and I just went, my heart just like, yeah. So, of course, I called Brandy. And, you know, because she had just done, she did two.
Yeah.
You know, she did two Ultimate Girls Trips. So it was like, if there's anybody that's going to give me advice. So, you know, she was amazing with the advice. And then I took the phone call at home and I was like in a quiet place and whatever. And she was just like, we're filming on this week. It's only 7 days. This is how much money you're getting paid. This, everybody's getting paid the same amount of money.
Great.
Yeah.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andysgirls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andysgirls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/andyscrolls. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/andyscrolls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/andyscrolls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
And the way that it was pitched to me was it was more of a, it's interesting, like my interpretation of it was it's more of a, what do you call it? Like more of like a reunion kind of. Like all of these girls haven't been back in a while. The girls were off the air for a minute, by the way. You know, people forget that how long had they been? They'd missed a season or 2 seasons at that point?
That's a good question. I forget.
Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they stopped filming and then went right back.
No.
Yeah.
There had certainly been a gap.
Yeah. And you saw that when we all got to the island. It was like there was a lot of catching up and all that. So anyway, so they basically... they kind of positioned it like, you know, we'll be reminiscing about old episodes. And in my mind, I interpreted that as being like, it's going to be like a recap of all of the OG Roni that was awesome. And production told me that, listen, if you haven't seen, you know, we're going back to the St. Bart's house, you should definitely brush up on a couple of things. End quote, go back and watch some of these episodes. And I'm a homework girl. Like I just clearly I've got notes right here. Like, so that's my personality. So I went back and watched St. Bart because I don't think I'd ever seen it. And, you know, I still have not to this day seen all of Scary Island, which I should have watched that. But so, you know, I in my mind, I was like, I watched these shows in the last 10 years. So I felt confident about going back in. And I got to tell you, seriously, my personality is like, you know, if I'm going to sit at a dinner table with a group of women that I haven't seen in a really long time, and they're all talking about this fun party they went to, do I want to sit at the end of the table and not be a part of the conversation? Or don't get me wrong, I didn't go back and watch every episode. I'm just privy to a lot of the stuff, you know?
Yeah. And if you weren't there for some of those seasons, of course you would want to know what they were talking about. It's actually, it does yourself a disservice not to.
Totally. And I feel like you see that with Kelly in the beginning. She's kind of like a deer in headlights for a lot of these conversations. I mean, maybe it's a little extreme how much I knew. Like, there was one moment where the girls were like, yeah, blah, 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 da, da. And then somebody's like, yeah, I think we were, you know, in this place. I was like, no, you were here and you were on a boat. And they're all like, oh my God, you're right. But like, they forgot that I was.
You were the dramaturg. You were the dramaturg. Yeah, 100%. You literally
were. But I'm kind of like, you know what? Fuck it. I knew the information. I was going to just, whatever. I got to tell you, like, I could go on forever.
I am so into this.
But, you know, sometimes I think like, what did our parents watch back in the day? Freaking Guiding Light and all that shit. This is the new that, you know, I'm home a lot during the day if I'm not working or doing stuff. I always have Bravo on in the background. It's just something I've always done. Call me a super fan. Call me whatever. I mean, who cares?
Did you watch the New York reboot?
Yes.
How did we feel?
Yeah. And I also feel like all these interviews I do, people always ask me. I got to tell you, I really liked it. I felt like it gave me life at the end because I think we're definitely going to get a lot more out of these girls next season. You know, people have to remember it takes a minute. They weren't like the bestest of friends. Mm-hmm. They're coming in right off the heels of these OGs, which everybody loves. This is like an insane franchise that has been around forever. It must be really intimidating going into that. And there's no OG to hold you and prop you up.
No.
Like even for me, like I came in and it was like, you know, for better or worse with Ramona, I mean, I feel like she helped me my first season. You know, she would always be like, you're doing a great job, or, you know, you got to give us a little more, Kristen, or, you know, meaning like emotion, or, you know, don't hold anything back. Being like,
she was trying to support you.
Support me.
Yeah.
Never having really been in front of a camera. So just imagine a whole new cast. I feel like people are forgetting that these are brand new ladies that we haven't seen before. And it takes a minute to get used to each other filming, the pace of it. It's not, believe it or not, everybody out there, it's not in everyone's human nature to be nasty bitches to each other. That takes a lot of years of practice, doesn't it?
It does. Some of us were born with that skill, but yeah.
Some people were, but not, I mean, and we joke about it, but it's not normal for you to piss me off at a lunch and be like, what a fucking bitch, or throw my drink in your face. That takes years and years of practice.
So for you being back in the mix on Ultimate Girls Trip and sort of back in this universe again, and then shifting into watching franchises on the air, how does that impact your experience of watching? I mean, you're saying you have Bravo on the back in the background when you're like doing things, you know, futzing around the house or whatever, but you were also on Bravo. So is there a specific kind of connection, or can you turn it off where you're like, I did it. That was my chapter. You know, I had a couple chapters. I had another chapter.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to really genuinely disconnect.
Yeah. No, I 100% can disconnect. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. This is like the craziest example ever, something that just came to my mind. I remember when we were doing the upfronts here when the show was going to be announced. So they were like, okay, you need to come to New York. I hadn't seen any of the girls in a long time. So I come and I go do the upfronts. And at that time, that whole Scandoval thing had happened.
Oh, God.
And I don't watch that show. Mm. I started to kind of dabble in it a little bit. I've watched a couple of episodes just because of that whole thing. I don't even know who's the girl that
Ariana
was there.
She was like, they put her, she then became like center stage for the upfront.
So she was there and I got introduced, or I introduced myself to her. It was just like her and I on a couch or whatever. And I was almost like embarrassed because I didn't have any idea what was going on with her.
Wait.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but also like, bummer. Like, I was like, oh gosh, I think there's something going on with you, but I have no idea. And it was like, I was almost embarrassed because it was like, this is a Bravo family and I should know what's going on with your show and you should kind of be privy to mine. But not everybody feels that way. But I was like embarrassed. I was like, I should have been like, holy shit, girl, like, are you okay? But I wasn't like that because I had no idea.
The flip side is she's talking to someone who's been on Bravo, who gets it, who isn't asking her questions about this man she thought she was going to be with forever,
okay,
who was stooping her one of her best friends.
Right.
I think that's actually a positive where she can have a chance to breathe, yeah, where it's like, okay, how are you doing?
Yeah, whatever.
She's just catching up with someone who gets it in terms of being in the Bravo. She was like in the middle of an explosion at that point.
Because I wasn't watching it, so I didn't know.
I think that's a good thing.
Okay, good. I'm happy you're saying that.
But also, when it comes to Bravo background, you got to watch VPR and you got to start from the beginning. You will like it.
Really?
You will. It's dirty. Mm. And at points, like, it leans a little close at points to trashy, but it's phenomenal television.
How far back do I have to go, girl? Because I don't.
You have to start.
Really?
No, here's the thing. I'm not. I have been a completionist, whatever. Sometimes I take my time with certain things. VPR, to me, genuinely, you have to start with the first season. And it's not like on other franchises where, oh God, I have to start with the first season. It's not going to be good. But then it's great from the jump. Like,
okay.
I would argue some of those, or that's the golden age of television. Some of those early seasons, genuinely, you're going to like it. You need to see Jax
transform.
Well, it's like that transform, but like have a lack of growth in such a way that's almost astounding. He has gotten older, I guess.
He's just the same person.
Well, it's like he's gotten, I guess, more. His circumstances have changed, so the stakes have changed. But some of his like core behaviors, especially with women he's partnered with, has it evolved? Sure. Like, has he grown a little bit? Sure. But some of those buttons are still there.
Wow.
So I think it's fascinating to watch. And then you graduate into the Valley.
I watched the Valley.
Oh, you did?
Girl, I live in the Valley. Let me remind you.
Wait, so
that's like my backyard.
So you watched Jax on the Valley, but not Jax on VPR.
Correct. Yes.
And what was your reaction to the Valley?
I really liked it. I feel like, so I'm like a huge Yellowstone fan. I love those shows.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a prequel to Housewives.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, right? It's like young couples just getting married, just having their babies. Like, they're just finding their way with, like, their careers, their struggles. So it's like, then you cut to any Real Housewives franchise and you've got all these people who are established, their kids are a little bit older, whatever they're doing with their career. They've got the house and the career and the car and the bag and the, as opposed to, like, watching these people evolve into their relationships, for better or worse, having their little babies, going through the struggles with that, starting their businesses, you know, having their baby moon. You know, we didn't get to see baby showers. Well, I guess for some of the housewives, I shouldn't say that. But it's not like we were at Ramona's baby shower or, you know, Luann's, you know, baby moon or whatever.
So,
you know what I'm saying? It's
totally.
It's young, fresh energy without it being, again, because I didn't watch Vanderpump. So it's like, I feel like it's like that sloppy in my mind.
No. It's
sloppy,
totally,
drunk
yeah.
bartender.
Absolutely.
I don't like really like to watch that.
Well,
but
then you might have a little issue with VPR, with early and also, you know, medium VPR and later VPR. But that's such a good comparison.
Yeah.
Like the 1883 to Yellowstone.
Totally.
The Valley to Housewives.
Love.
That's such an interesting way of thinking about it.
Oh, I'm so happy like that you.
I mean, I do have to ask
my
you.
My super fandom is like coming out in full sinful.
Listen, I do have to ask you before.
I think I watch too much TV.
No, you don't. And you're in the exact right space in which to discuss. This is a healing journey that we're taking. I do have to ask you, and we will shift gears to Orange County and New Jersey, but noting that you watched The Valley, what were your thoughts on Janet?
Okay, so here's something about me. I'm really bad with names. One's Janet?
Janet is the one that I
was
literally everybody,
so
everybody
next time,
in the audience hated.
So next time I come, I need to see, thought to myself, like, you need to have an iPad.
Yeah, no, I'll have a whiteboard.
Show me face.
I'll have photos.
Yeah.
It'll
okay,
be great.
Good.
Janet, pregnant, seemingly a little strategic, but acting very innocent. Had a lot of thoughts and feels about Kristen. A lot of thoughts and feels about, I mean, honestly, everybody in the cast. I think she thought she was going to be Stassi. And then some people felt like, maybe not the Stassi comparison, but some people felt like she was assuming that she would be the breakout star and was kind of smarter
really?
Than everybody else. And I don't know that really happened with the audience.
Can we back up? Where did half of these people come from? Because some, you know what I'm saying? Where they were friends, obviously they were cast, but is it similar to like the housewife thing where it's like, oh, my girl, Sarah, you should meet her.
So the interesting thing with the Valley is these people actually were friends.
Okay.
So when you look at Jax and Brittany's wedding, there are people from the Valley in the audience, like literally crying while they're sharing their vows. So Janet seemed to come from nowhere, but like she seemed to infiltrate the friend group. But sort of off camera, like she became really good friends with Sheena. I think she became really good friends with Lala. She was in the circle. And then when they were thinking about doing this show, I think
she
that they were,
who
is in the circle, who has relationships with Bravo people, who are in this universe, might not be on this show.
Yeah.
But where there, it feels like there's a little bit of a connection and a history.
You know, it's so funny you're asking me about this girl, Janet, which no disrespect.
Don't remember.
She didn't really stand out to me.
Yeah,
maybe
I get that.
Because she was like kind of in the middle of it all, but it was definitely more the other drama. And then like those, like the people that really, I liked her relationship. I feel like she's got a solid guy. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
And I do love that she was very, like she really definitely had a solid opinion on a lot of things and like really gave it. The argument with that one guy made me a little sad because I do feel like it is kind of fucked up that she was on speakerphone and there was other people kind of making fun of the conversation. Mm. Like, that's not cool. But I don't know. Like, I felt like I like her as a character. It'll be interesting to see how she evolves as a mom and how that changes with her performance, so to speak, on camera, because it's like you got that baby girl and it is full time and you are going to be tired and you are going to be like things are going to change for her. But my biggest takeaway was, okay, first of all, what's the girl's name that's causing all the trouble?
Kristen.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do I not remember that? Okay. So Kristen, I just, oh my goodness. Like I don't know her. I don't know him. I just know that I've been married a very long time and I have children. And I just feel like, girl, like it scares me that you're wanting to get pregnant with this guy. I think he's lovely. I don't doubt that it's a great relationship. I just feel like he wants to live there. You want to live here. You're trying to have a baby. I feel like you're jumping the gun. Like, oh my gosh, why are you trying to have a baby so fast? Like, that's crazy to me. Because this is not just like, you know, right? I mean, it's a lot. And you're doing that for the cameras. Like, what's happening? He clearly does not want to live in Los Angeles, and you clearly don't want to live where he wants to live full time.
But they started dating before the show was but an idea, or at least the show may well have been an idea, but before the show started filming. So I don't think that this is, that it was for a storyline. I think she really wants it. The question is this really the right time?
Yeah.
And like, how do you support a friend? How can you support a friend? Literally, like, what are the steps that a person can do to support a friend who might not be making the best choice, but is making a choice?
Yeah.
You know, like, if she wants to have kids and she wants to have kids with this person who doesn't really seem to want to be on camera, certainly does not want to live in the same state, how do you make that happen?
Yeah.
She has two dreams. One is to be a mom, and the other one is to be on this show.
Right.
So,
well,
like,
you know what?
How does it intersect?
I'm actually coming full circle, and I'm thinking, who's the other girl? Again, forgive me out there, the girl, I'm so bad with names. The girl who has the two kids kind of on her own?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Who's the girl that just, didn't she just get pregnant with another kid? The girl that's a single mom, her mom lives with her.
Lala can.
So maybe she's looking at her friends going, well, Lala can do it by herself.
Yeah.
But Lala has her mom too, doesn't she?
She has her mom. She has her brother. She has a support system. Mm-hmm. With Kristen, I'm like, then have the kid on your own. She's trying to make this into a storybook situation.
Yeah.
And it might be.
Yeah.
This might work out.
I mean, the guy seems great, honestly.
Yeah. No, he does. There's like a little bit of something there where it's like my instinct is that I'm picking up on something. And I don't know if that's completely unrelated to who he is. Just thinking about her track record with men. She does not have a great history.
See, I don't know anything about that because I haven't watched it. So you're going to.
So, and I also don't know, am I using that against her? Mm-hmm. Like, am I able to give this person a chance to prove me wrong?
Right.
Why does he have to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, my biggest thing is watching those two relationships, Jax and Brittany, and then the other couple, the real estate people. Like,
yeah, Jesse and Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sad. It was sad. It's sad, like he wanted to try, and I just look at her and it's like, you know what? If she's not in love with him anymore or like him anymore, then good for her for having good for her for going on the damn show to begin with, and mm-hmm. then for having the confidence to leave him, because that can't be easy with a kid. Like, all of it. Like, I feel for both parties. I just wonder, how the hell are they going to film next year? Like, do one of them get the boot? And then, like, the dating thing?
They're
and then
all back.
They are?
Yeah, thank God. Oh they God. Know. They yeah. know that this is a public service, okay. what they're doing.
And then, like, the whole Jackson Brittany thing. You're like, oh. It, again, like, not having watched the other show, just it seems like she tries really hard. And I hate the whole, and like, I feel like with the whole OC thing with the drinking and all that, like, I hate how the narrative is, does she drink too much? And it's like, I don't know, again, because I haven't watched the other stuff, because we all know with editing, it's really easy to be like, every time I, you know, I pick up a drink, they film directly and they can cut that in. So, I mean, does she? Is that, was that a thing on the other show?
I don't know. I think she was trying to figure out a way to maybe disconnect at points. Mm. The difficulty for me is I understand aspects of what Jax is trying to say. Like, I understand what he's trying to say about her seemingly needing to take care of herself, if that's a trigger for her body physically, if your body cannot handle alcohol.
Oh, is that the issue?
It seems to be that she's having stomach issues.
Oh,
but
okay.
Then one of her friends, I don't remember if it was Lala or Sheena, said after they separated, she hasn't had any issues since. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that could have been
stress.
And I also think the way he went about it, that's what made the situation at the Baby Moon so interesting, because he was talking so much shit about her.
I know.
It felt like he was trying to really villainize her, and then she comes in the scene and she's like, don't fucking say this, you're supposed to have my back. He really had, it's hard to take him at his word, because it feels like the word that immediately follows is, and this is why I need to shame her, this is why I don't have any trust in her, this is why I don't have respect for her, this is why I need to mom shame
her. I'm like, I'm shaking my head, because like, that was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. They're not dating, mm-hmm. they're not 19, mm-hmm. They're not in high school, mm-hmm. They're married with a child, and that's how he's treating his wife. And like, don't get me wrong, like, people have crap in their relationships, and like, yes, it's a show, you gotta air your dirty laundry, but that, you're right, that was like really horrific. And like, can you imagine that's on camera?
Well, that's
how the hell does he treat her behind doors?
Well, that's part one. And part two is like, I know what you're trying to do. You should not be sacrificing me. I am your wife.
Yes. 100. And she said that. Yeah.
He was on the hunt. He was hunting, like, was she drinking? She wasn't. Okay, but was she? She wasn't. Okay, but was she?
Yeah.
And I think some of that, I mean, I think.
And trust me, they would cut back to her drinking if she was. You know, they would. There's proof. There's the receipts, as they say, or whatever.
But also, at the end of the day, she's not feeling well. What she doesn't need in this moment is you berating her. What she needs is you supporting her and trying to help her, because she doesn't feel well. She feels like she has body sensitivities. She's being filmed right now. She's on a trip. She's dealing with stuff with her son. And I know obviously they share the child, but like, just give her a little bit of a chance to breathe, because we saw this on Orange County, to shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the number one way to ensure that someone is not going to listen to you or hear you is when you try to use their alcohol use or your perception of it as a way to shame them.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number one
way. It's in my notes, girl. It's here.
I mean, let's get to your notes. We got to talk about Orange County.
No,
we got to talk about it.
Totally. But so in closure, I'm very excited to see what the Valley holds next. Are they filming? Because you know all this.
They're 100% filming.
Oh, wow.
Right now.
Okay.
And it's going to be great.
I might have to hang out in that area of town, just saying.
Could you imagine? Up in the background.
Could you imagine, like, there I am at the supermarket. People are like, is that Kristen Takeman?
Literally show up to Jax's like bar situation thing.
Which I probably won't do.
Okay.
But yeah.
Rolling to Jax's.
Oh my God. I was joking with somebody recently. I was like, maybe one of them need a babysitter. Could you imagine if like I rolled in like
that?
My neighbor, Kristen Takeman, offered to babysit.
I don't know if you would be in the apartment building that's been featured on the show, but I would love to see it. I would love to take out a office space in that apartment
and
complex.
And by the way, that other couple, they are so freaking lovely. Borderline, like, is it too much? Oh,
me and Danny.
We don't cheers without kissing first. Wasn't that like a thing? Like, I am like very like that stuff makes me gag a little. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Wait, is it? Like,
but she is an angel.
An angel.
Like we don't deserve her.
Like a beautiful angel. But he is like, it was sweet how he got emotional at the end. Yeah. They have so many babies. Like you can't even count. I mean, that's a lot of babies.
They got a lot of babies.
A lot of little babies.
Like three kids under whatever the fucking thing is. Like kids under three or something. I forgot how you phrase it. But like, she's dealing with a lot, what she was talking about
Which
postpartum. Like she is, I just want her to
you know, feel okay and feel supported. And I hope she has people in her personal life. Mm-hmm. She certainly has the audience's support.
Oh, for sure.
But I just hope that she has as much support as she certainly deserves, because those are the conversations that people, you know, we might focus on them in the moment, but also, like, that is the value of Housewives.
Yeah,
that's the value of Bravo, the value of the Valley is, like, you can talk about these things, and sure, is there, are there moments of entertainment, like a, you know, smart ass comment, Jax losing his shit, absolutely, but there's other stuff here too,
and exactly,
it, and just from a, like, superficial, I want to watch good TV, it makes TV so fascinating and nuanced, because you have that nuance there. The stakes are, could not be higher.
Totally.
How do I see myself? How do I identify? How is what I'm feeling, quote unquote, normal? Do I feel 100%. Guilt or shame about not feeling a certain way that I feel like I'm expected to? You have all of that. And then it's like, next scene, like, Jax is, like, yelling at the lawnmower. Like, it's there's just a, there's a lot going on. You can, you can pick out whatever it is that you want to focus on and connect with.
Right.
And that's why I love Housewives. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Parenting is a core part of Housewives. And my new fave friend of is ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. ByHeart's mission is simple: make the best formula in the world while using the latest in breast milk science.
ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. And ByHeart formula is clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Andy's Girls for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So Orange County premiered.
Yes.
We have to discuss.
Let me find those notes,
you
girl.
You have 3 pages of back and front. So
I do.
Your initial reaction to the premiere episode itself, heavy Ugh. Focus on Shannon.
Okay.
But focus.
There was a lot. It's always interesting, I think, when these shows come back and, like, again, just being on a show where, you know, you call it the off season, whatever it is. It's like their summer break equivalent, right? So it's like you get a sense right away of who's really friends. Like, I know in our shows, like even the 2 seasons I did a million years ago, it was like, who talked to who? Or do you remember the whole, like, dynamic between, like, Ramona and Sonia? And it would, like, Ramona would just be like, I haven't heard from Sonia in, like, in 3 months.
Yeah.
Literally. She hasn't returned any of my calls. Mm-hmm. And then they go back on air and it's like they're besties again. So that always kind of, I always kind of look for that. Like, who actually genuinely hung out? Mm-hmm. I get you need a little bit of a break for sure. But you could tell that nobody genuinely had spoken to Shannon or seen her or whatever. In all fairness, but then that makes me feel like, how friendly are you guys, you know, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, I'm kind of like looking for little pieces of that. And then it's just heartbreaking. But seeing her daughters are doing really well, that made me happy in the beginning. And Archie's clearly okay. Mm-hmm.
She needed to. She was here in the office a couple days ago.
Yes.
She wanted to clarify. And Sophie was here. She was hanging out on the couch while we were recording. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, she seems like just such a lovely young lady.
Yes.
A lovely young woman. Just graduated from college. Her kids all
graduated. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Her kids are all seem like really secure, doing well, which is honestly kind of a miracle when you consider what those kids have gone through just in Shannon and David's divorce.
Yeah.
And the fact that all of that was very, very public because of the show. It's I would think that to be a child of reality TV divorce has to be really, really tough to navigate. So the fact that these kids have like such good heads on their shoulders, it's frankly incredible.
Yeah. I was happy to see she moved into a new place. I feel like it's a nice, fresh new beginning. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have written here
from
some of the first scenes where it was like, I just felt like, oh my gosh, like my first instinct was like, she's so fragile. Mm. And I feel like she's been so fragile in so many of these episodes. And then, you know, then cut to, she just puts her big girl panties on and she goes right up to Alexis. Is that her name?
Yep.
Right up to Alexis. That takes real freaking, for lack of a better, balls. Like, holy shit. How many of us would have just been like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to like deal with this, like, what's it called in the room? Elephant in the room for like an episode or two. And she just was like, you know what? I'm going right up to this girl. I'm going to address her right away. So like, it's like on one side, she's super fragile. But then on the other side, I felt like she is actually a really strong woman. The thing that I don't want to say makes me sad for her is like, I think she is a wonderful, smart, talented woman. And you just want to see her find the right partner. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, could you imagine if she had like a great guy supporting her? I don't mean financially. I just mean like literally there for her. So she could go home at the end of the day and just, you know, have that guy that she could share moments with. And, you know, you watch every other franchise and it's like, you know, all the Jersey girls, like my takeaway from watching it was like, they go home, they dish to the man, you know, pumps them up and gets them back out there. And like, she doesn't have that. So I feel like people have to take that into consideration. That's like, she's doing it by herself and she's been through some shit.
Not only is she doing it by herself, but this man seems like it was a really toxic relationship. Remains on the show because he happened to start dating someone who is now back as a friend. So like, how is she supposed to literally move forward and focus on herself and maybe in the future focus on a partner if her previous one can't get out of her goddamn hair?
Who is this guy? What is his deal?
He's a piece of shit. His name is John Jansen.
Well, clearly.
Or Johnny J, depending on.
I wrote it down. Johnny J.
What the fuck is that?
Did she just like rename him Johnny J, like out of nowhere?
Yeah, I think they probably had a little session at home where they were like spitballing. It felt like it was a weird. I think she's trying to reclaim control of this, of how, who he is as a boyfriend. And like the name was too much because he was known. Shannon called him John Jansen. She always said like first name, last name. So people called him John Jansen. So his full name was essentially a nickname. So I think Alexis for herself is like, okay, now I'm the partner, but I'm the real one. I'm the one that he really loves. So how do I reference who he is that doesn't bring a callback to Shannon? So she went with Johnny J, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like, it's so, but what does he do? Like, does he have a job? Does he talk about his job? Because obviously they referenced, listen, all I know about him is that he, you know, Shannon had to pay for everything and blah, blah, blah. And
so he had some kind of something. I don't know what it was. And then it seemed like he was retired or semi-retired.
What?
So I really don't. No, I don't know that we've ever gotten the details. And you're a chump. You're on Jeff Lewis Live.
Yeah.
Shannon's a chump. She's on Jeff Lewis Live. There have been conversations on the show about like what Shannon, what does he do or is he working? And I've never really gotten clarity of exactly what it is.
Not that it matters. I'm just curious. You're just like kind of like wondering who is this guy, just to kind of put him into a, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it just seems a little...
He just seems like a little bit of this kind of like not slimy guy, but like there's something about him that just feels incredibly toxic.
Yeah.
And for Alexis, first off, find an identity that's not related to your then husband, Jim, when she was on the show the first time. And now with John, and like, why are you fighting his battle? Shannon talked on Andy Scrolls and certainly has talked about it on the show that she felt all this pressure during her last reunion when they were still dating of him wanting to make sure she did a good enough job to talk up his character and like clean up any messes that had been shown on the show, where she was so focused on him that she felt like she was out of control, couldn't focus on herself. And with Alexis, I'm like, babe, you don't see that you're falling into this trap because you seem so proud of it, but you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
If all you're doing, if that's a decision that you made because you felt like that was your quote unquote storyline, okay, but it's still not great that you're stepping in and you're being so aggressive. It turns me off a little bit because I want to like her. Yeah. I want to enjoy her on the show. And maybe there will be layers. We've only seen one episode at this point, but I'm not getting the sense that she really is interested in that.
Oh my God, the whole thing is just too much. Like, wouldn't it be great if she was like, well, first of all, have we seen any clips in the previews? Does he film? He must film, right?
He has to film. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it would be amazing if it was like, you know what? This is a relationship. I got asked to be back on the show, but I'm sure she got asked to be back on because of the relationship. Or do you think this was prior?
She was already in conversation with them. So I think it was probably pretty likely she was going to be back.
Okay.
And then they sort of started their very, very public romance. And I think at this point, when they had been filming the show, they'd only been together, I think, for like 2 months or something. She had a promise ring. She had that terrible promise ring.
Oh my God. So weird. It's such a slap in the face. I just feel like, okay, fine. Like maybe you guys did hit it off at the freaking, I wrote that down too. What is this place?
Quiet Woman.
Oh my God. I mean, the Quiet Woman is like another character on the damn show. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
Oh my God. I feel like I need to just check this place out at some point. But
you
like,
literally do.
Like the way it was like dun 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 when they showed the facade of the. Am I right?
No, it's a big moment in
history.
I was like, it's a big moment.
I literally wrote it down. Yeah. I was like, that freaking plate.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
It's a historic landmark.
Yeah, it is. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so like she's talking about meeting there and you're kind of like, oh my God, couldn't they have met anywhere else? He's just hanging out, waiting for a housewife to come in. It's like a, like with a freaking rod, like baiting everybody walking in the door. I just feel like, okay, if it is legit, be like, you know what? This is legit, but this is legit. I could talk about it. Yes, I'm with him. Maybe we'll show pictures or whatever, but I'm not going to film with him. Or he'll take a little pause or something like that. The whole thing is just so, like, what's going to happen when they break up? Seriously. Well, they won't break up because he will keep his teeth in her because he clearly wants to be on the show very badly.
But then how do you spot the difference between someone who wants to be on the show or someone or versus someone who became potentially obsessed with being on the show or in love with being on the show versus someone who just goes into these relationships with women in general and says, you're the one an hour and a half after meeting? Because it seems like he did that before and he's doing it again. That might not be because he's on the show. That just might be a guy who thinks. And I just think at a certain point, like, does love at first sight exist? I'm sure it does, but we're not really getting that. We're getting like marriage at first sight,
yeah,
which is different. And to me, just as an outsider, a little bit too artificial because you don't know this person mm-hmm. enough. You could say, I fell in love with you at first sight, and yeah, that's all fine and good. And maybe it's love or lust or some combination of the two. But to say like, I do at first sight, to yeah, me, it just feels, I maybe this isn't fair, but to me, it just feels like deeply emotionally immature.
Oh my God, beyond. I just think it's, listen, I think all things considered, Shannon's holding herself really well, you know, head held high. She goes right in there. She tackles it head on. I mean, it's hilarious watching all the girls watch her. It's so funny. Oh my God.
Emily leaned up against the window.
She's amazing. Isn't she me? And I gotta tell you, she's so lovely. Like, being at BravoCon this year, I pretty much met everybody. And I would not ever name names because I don't need that. But there are so many people that you just meet and you're like, why are you being so bitchy? Like, do you know how you're just like in a room and you're like, I always kind of go back to, okay, first of all, let's talk about BravoCon. So like we're at BravoCon and like we all get paid the same amount of money. You uh-huh. do what you want with the money. You buy an outfit, you pay for your hair and makeup, you do you. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But it's not like nobody's in it for the money. It's like right. the money barely covers right. your costs. Fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But you're also kind of like, we're all here for a reason. Like, I was invited just like you were. Like, you're on a hit show and you didn't, you know, you've been on for 10, 12 years for sure. You are like, bow down to you. Like, you're great. Like, you know, you've been doing this forever. Like, yay, good on you. But you're also just like, it is a sorority. And you also have to be, you also have to respect the people that are on other shows, you know? And it's like, some of the women were so nice. Who would you say? Emily. Emily was amazing.
Yeah.
Somebody else that stands out, ironically, who we'll talk about later, is Jackie, right?
She's so nice.
Lovely.
She's really nice.
Normal
Genuinely.
Freaking girl.
Absolutely.
Great marriage, strong family foundation.
Husband. Hot husband. Hot.
You know, and it's like, it's interesting how some of these women are just so, you know how you're just like, how am I a threat to you, girl? Like, I literally have been out of the picture for a million years. Like, why are you being mean to me? Like, there's so many people that I even introduce myself to because that's who I am, you know, in the green room or in passing or we're waiting for an elevator. Like, I'm not going to say hi to you. Like, are you joking? And just so nasty. And you're kind of like, you do know, like, I have a show coming out. Like, they didn't just bring me back for like, they needed to fill a seat. Like, I actually am on a show. It's not like you're seeing me at Jill's event on Saturday and I haven't done anything in 10 years. It's like, girl, like, I'm here to promote a show. Like, come
but
on.
Even if that was the case,
I know, but that's my point.
Like, you're all in this sorority, so yeah, why does it matter what yeah. year you graduated?
Yeah, exactly. No, for sure. But again, on top of that, I do have a show coming out. It did at the time. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, ugh, I could go on and on, but it's very frustrating. Yeah.
Okay. So here's my question, because I've worked with a ton of people from the perspective of maybe AG in the pod, but also really with a background in event producing. And what I found throughout the years working with celebrities, up and comers, is that typically a lot of the people like high up are the easiest to work mm-hmm. with. And that's because typically they're the most secure, but also, of course, from a logistical perspective, they have teams of people helping yeah. them okay. so that they are secure and relaxed because they don't have to do some of the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. It's some of the people who are on the way up
yeah.
want to feel confident that they're at that point or maybe feel yeah. a little insecure about it, who sometimes react in a way to overcompensate. Mm-hmm. So without naming names, the people who were especially dickish mm-hmm. to you
yeah.
during BravoCon, were some of those like the peak superstar housewives, or were some of them either people who hadn't been on the show in a minute, or maybe like mid-level housewives?
No, they were at the top. They were like,
shut up.
Yeah, there was like two specifically, and I'd love to name names. I just don't need that drama. Okay. And it's funny because one of them was super. One of them was actually very nice. Met her and her husband in the green room, and she was lovely. And then met her again at Luann's cabaret, and like Luann invites me to the show in LA, so I go, and it's like all those people there, whatever. Because like, yeah, anyway, and this same girl literally pretended like she didn't know who I was. It was actually embarrassing. It was like, why are you being so mean to me?
Does her name rhyme with Shmorit? Am I close?
No.
Okay.
But no, okay. I think it's somebody else.
Interesting.
Similar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's the Connecticut, because isn't that where Shmorit is from?
She's from everywhere. She's from the world.
Oh, sorry.
She's from the UN.
About that. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but for this particular situation, that's not who I'm referring to.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
someone with that similar name was also very like cold to me. I was like, hi, I'm Kristen. Nice to meet you. Like waiting for an elevator. Like looked right through me. You're like, okay, that's weird.
Cool. And you're like dolled up, obviously talent. They know who you are. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they didn't. Honestly, maybe she didn't.
But you're still talent. I mean, yeah, like,
but that was what I was trying to say to you. Like, we're all here.
Right.
Like, I'm not in a line to meet you to get your photograph. Like, we're in a line together, going out to have fans meet us to take a photograph.
But
like, girl, you know,
especially like, then, know who? Like, this is that's the thing with BravoCon is that like, no one is. I mean, the network is, but nobody involved is making money. You're doing it seemingly as a way to thank the audience and participate 100%. In this huge, huge event where like, yes, if you were doing an appearance, your appearance fee would likely be much higher, but people get that going in. It's an overwhelming experience, totally. I'm sure, because of like the numbers and the amount of events that you're being shuffled off to and everything. But also that's a part of it of like, that's why it was sort of upsetting to people when Jenna Lyons said that she wasn't going to go because it was about the check, where it's like,
oh, is that what she'd said?
Yeah. She said some stuff after the fact, and it's I think she made a joke about like, I needed to like wash my hair or something. I genuinely forget the details, but there seemed to be an understanding that like BravoCon wasn't going to make her quote. And I just think that's not, it's easy for me to say as an outsider, because I understand strategically not wanting to set a precedent of like, I'll accept this amount, but also this is the exception to the rule here.
But you know what? I got to tell you, she's the exception to the rule. I love Jenna Lyons. I think she is a freaking superstar icon. And I think she's so much bigger than this show. And I'm still so surprised that she's done it. I'm happy she did. I mean, we all love looking at her closet and all of her stuff. I was one of the fit models for J. Crew back in the day. So I worked with her, when she was married to a man and pre getting pregnant with her son.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. So like go way back with her. She's so lovely. She's so talented. I love seeing every minute of her on the show. I wouldn't doubt she's got a special situation going. So
That's true. I'm glad you said that. That's a good point.
I swear, I bet you anything, she's like, I'll do it. I want to do it, but I need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
This is in my contract. I'm not doing BravoCon. I will only I'll only film X amount of days a week. I have other businesses. I need to promote these businesses. So like, I don't hate her for that. And I do think like she brings a whole different layer level of not only the new New York, but I feel like the whole franchise, because that's the way of the future for the franchise is women like that. I think
that's a great point. And we'll see what happens for her second season, because I think a lot of people were shocked when she came back. I certainly didn't think she was coming back.
I thought she wasn't coming back.
I was thrilled when that announcement came out, because I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, this is incredible.
Because, like, let's like a little pause.
No, please.
Stop using that. I also think people watching it, I think it would have been way too much for the seconds. We're just getting to know these characters.
Mm-hmm.
If one already was pivoting out and going,
that would have been tough. Give her what she wants.
To get to know another new character.
Yeah,
you got to give us a few seasons to get these girls' foundation going. Then you can start adding or taking away, because it would have been too much.
Well, Rebecca Minkoff is joining.
Someone else who's joining, his name. Which is huge. That's huge, by the way.
I
mean? Like, that's the trajectory of these shows.
Yeah. And Jenna, we'll see what happens, because I think she got what she was looking for her second season, which is great. But she has a bunch of restrictions and boundaries around her romantic life. I think filming in her house. Well, we'll see.
How do you know this? It was in the...
I think it was in her New York Times. Oh. She gave an interview around the time that it came out that she was back.
Good for her.
But yeah, good for her, except might not be good for us. And part of what we loved was seeing her in the closet, seeing her in, by that I mean not,
yeah,
seeing
she's her out of the closet.
Quite literal closet. I want to make that very, very clear. Seeing her clothes, seeing her fashion, seeing her money, seeing her insane, gorgeous, stunning apartment, her home. I don't know how much of that we're getting. Mm-hmm. I hope we get a decent amount, but I also love seeing her with her son. Yeah. I don't know how much of that we're getting. What's the trade-off here? Are we trading off more of her storyline in order to have her in the cast? And how is that going to impact the show itself, especially if maybe other people in the cast feel like they're carrying a heavier load?
Mm. I think they'll be fine. I think they need it. They need those big names, yeah, especially now with Rebecca. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Does she still have a line? Was it bags, Rebecca?
She was like mid-aughts. I think she mid-2000s, I think, was when it was like big,
but big. Maybe. I remember like having her stuff, but what was it? Was it accessories?
Cool. Yeah, it was bags, I think, was the thing. Bags, I was never a Rebecca. I was more of a Nanette Lepore, Rebecca Taylor gal. I was not real. Tracy Reese. LOL. Tracy Reese was my number one.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And also, she's a Scientologist.
Oh, jeez.
So that's going to come out.
Bonus.
Xenu from above was like, let me give you guys a gift. So we will.
That is so funny.
We will see what happens there.
Holy shit.
Okay, Kristen, we need to continue the conversation, so head over to part 2, available now.